If you're a fan of daily awesome pop culture t-shirts, Ripped Apparel has you covered, and you can use promo code ACTION at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's code ACTION at checkout on RippedApparel.com.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
I'm your huckleberry.
What do you say we cut the Kit Kat and hole?
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Ashcast, the podcast for December 24th, 2018. I'm your host, Zach. Just then we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Season's greetings.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully everyone had a great holiday or just a great regular day if you don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
And so the final podcast of 2018.
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Except not
and
really.
It's, yeah, every studio news PR person took the entire week off because there's no news. There's like basically no news.
Literally, the most exciting studio email I got was like, "Hey, do you still want to be on our press release list?" It's like,
"Yep,
yeah, okay, sure. Thanks." like that was basically it. I thought it was like, "Whoa, it's gonna be some huge announcement." Oh, nope, just doing some housekeeping stuff before vacation.
Yeah, pretty much no, like Chris, I think, like, have you gotten any game emails? Like, because you usually get, like, at least, like, 20 game emails a day, and now it's, like, I think I've got, like, 10 for the whole week, maybe.
I've gotten, like, one or two. That's about it. And it's, like, one of them was, like, hey, these are games that came out early in the year. I was, like, oh, great.
And no comic stuff at all. Like, I've not got a single comic email.
I did not post anything because it's like, oh, it's like way, it's like that first, that other weekend after January is going to be filled of things I just like to dump out.
But yeah, so we got a couple things and then we'll dive into, I watched some stuff. I know you guys didn't really watch too much, you said, but I'll let you guys know about Aquaman in a little bit here and some other stuff. But yeah, let's dive into the few news stories that actually came out this week. So we got on Christmas Day this week, we got the trailer for Jordan Peele's follow up to Get Out, Us, which is his new horror movie.
I love the idea where it's like the get out, it's like get out, it's like get in or whatever.
You saw them get out, now they gotta get in.
Yeah, it's just a heist movie, like surprise.
Well, it's sort of like, it looks like The Strangers or something, but it's like, but The Strangers are like evil duplicates of like this family.
It really looks like a Black Mirror episode, or a sci-fi Channel Zero thing.
Yeah, very Channel Zero, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And the duplicates have to like kill the originals and I guess like to take their place or something maybe, or like, but they have like all the memories and all this, like all the, like they like act the same way that like the originals act and stuff. And also Tim Heidecker's there just for some reason. Like Tim Heidecker is this monster, just like the neighbors or something. There's like on the beach, just like, man, you guys see those crazy duplicates of you guys? That's crazy. I don't know. It looks pretty creepy and cool.
I gotta see like what hidden message is in it. Where it's just like, oh, like don't move to the suburbs, or like some weird other kind of political message that's in there.
Well, the message, according to the fucking internet sleuths out there, and I say that very sarcastically, it's like, oh, he made Get Out, and now he's making Us get out of the U.S. And it's like both posters have like black people crying. So it's about like he wants black people to leave America because that's the only chance he thinks we have. I'm like, you know, he's like super successful, right? Like, I don't think he's trying to like tell like as just like a sweeping blanket statement, be like, hey guys, if you're black like me, you gotta leave America. It's the only option, as he's like holding his Oscar and like cashing his Comedy Central checks from that he still gets from Key and Peele. Like, okay, maybe he doesn't agree with the current, you know, political climate or administration or whatever, but like, I don't think that he's trying to subtly tell black people to like flee the country en masse. Unless he is, in which case, all right, cool. But I mean, based on the titles of his movies, I don't really know. The other big conspiracy theory is that he's creating some sort of like shared universe. And I'm like, are you basing that off the fact that like he has like black characters? Because I don't really see any like similarities other than like, it's not like there's like a callback to like get or that we could see in the trailer anyway. Yeah. In Us to like get out, you know, I'm like, I don't know, guys, it kind of feels like you're reaching a little bit, but but okay.
Well, I thought I saw Jordan Peele say that like this one's not going to have like super overt message like Get Out did.
Like, I guess this was just like, more of a mind fuck like horror movie.
He said this is gonna be just a straight up crazy horror movie. He's not trying to put a message about race and the culture and like he didn't Get Out. It's just gonna be like a cool horror movie.
Yeah, and that's fine with me. Like, you know, we need it. Lord knows we need it.
Mm-hmm. So I think that is going to be, is that spring next year? Yeah, March 15th is when that's coming out next year. So get ready for that one. It's probably going to be another big hit like Get Out was.
Mm-hmm.
And then other bit of news for this week is that we got John Favreau, I think, actually posted, I think it was like Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, on his Instagram, posted from the set of The Mandalorian, and there's showed off that everyone's favorite robot bounty hunter, IG-88, is going to be featured at some point in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Hopefully that also means like some more like old school like bounty hunters are going to show up as well.
Well, wouldn't most of them be old? Because he's a robot, so it's kind of understood he's just like immortal.
Yeah. I want old Bosk. Like, just like he's just like his skin is like he's gray now. Like, he's like his skin's just all gray. He has no teeth.
Yeah, it's like kind of sad.
Bosk. or like Dengar, who's like even older than he looks in like the fucking like Empire Strikes Back. He's just like a super old man. Like. He's like that guy has like a walker. He's just like walking through like Tatooine, or like a hover wheelchair. But yeah, so it's cool that like they're like bringing in some more classic like canon stuff. IG-88 was not wiped out of the canon like a lot of other characters were, because like Empire Strikes Back is obviously still canon, but. I think a lot of his expanded universe stuff did get wiped out. So I don't know if they're gonna like make him like a new, like introducing any sort of like new plot points or like reference like his old like origin, where like it was basically like some crazy like droid factory in the Star Wars universe like made AI wrote like droids, and they went crazy and like murdered everyone.
Yeah, like rebelled.
Yeah. And there's three or four IG-88s like escaped, and there's like, and they're all like off doing their own thing as bounty hunters. They all basically became like bounty hunters, but, like, so it's like if you see IG-88, it might be like any one of the IG-88s. Hmm. I think was it Shadows of the Empire where I think one of them blew up, and then was like, oh, we killed IG-88, and then it's like he showed up a couple years later, and they're like, wait, he's back? What?
It's like a recant, just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, get ready for that. That's next year. The Disney Plus service is going to destroy the universe. Like, it's going to be so massive.
Yeah.
And last bit of news this week. that's right. Is that the Predator, the official like Predator channels on social media, announced that there is an official whiskey for Predator called Dutch whiskey. It also says "Get to the Chopper" under it. I guess it's a slogan of the whiskey, but yeah.
So now you have to buy it.
Yeah. So that's it. It's coming. I think it's coming soon. You have to like kind of sign up on the website and get like on a list or something because it's gonna be limited quantities. I couldn't find how much it actually is, but probably much more than just like buying like some normal ass whiskey.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine.
You're paying for like the
bottle name.
Yeah, the bottle and like imagining that you're like Dutch being like you son of a bitch and then take a shot.
I feel like if it was like a whole big thing where it's like the movie, the whiskey, I don't know, piece of the Predator hair. Like, then it's like a cool set, but it was just like I'm gonna pass by it in store and it's just like, oh, the Dutch whiskey, and it's like yeah, it seems kind of expensive. And ooh, look, Jim Beam's on sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Zach and I were kind of talking before we started the podcast. It's like my experience with like branded like movie booze has basically been like you're basically paying like a 200% markup for a bottle of like Evan Williams. Like that's basically what it is, which like if you like Evan Williams, that's fine. That's your deal and that's good for you. But like like the Ron Burgundy one, the Great Odin's Raven, like it basically just tasted like somebody poured a little bit of Johnny Walker Red into some Dewar's White Label. And I was like, huh, that tastes like both of those things. And neither of them are particularly good. But hey, I'm in the club now. So there's that. Kind of feel like that's what you're getting with this.
Yeah. I think I'm looking at the site. I think there's like they have all these like pictures of like glasses, and I don't think they're actually like branded glasses. I think they just like horribly photoshopped the logo over the glasses.
Could be.
Like if you go to DutchWhiskey.com and just look up like scroll to the bottom and just look at these pictures like these glasses with whiskey in it, and it's just like someone like copy and pasted the like logo on these two glasses. But the only they have like a buy now, but then you have to like it's basically sign up for like you're signing up for like and they'll notify you when it's available, I guess, or something. If you want to pretend you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can.
Does Dutch really like drink? Like, yeah, he does. Bourbon in the movie.
I mean, what was he? He was in the bar, but I don't remember him drinking it. Like he was smoking a cigar in the bar. Yeah. At the beginning, but I don't remember him actually drinking like anything.
That's actually what I was gonna get at. Like, if they were gonna come out with like a Dutch label cigar or something, I would be all over that. Like, believe you me. But I don't know. Kind of feels like I guess Dutch probably drinks. So
now maybe
sure.
Maybe it should have been more like a Jesse Ventura branded whiskey.
Right.
Because I feel like he drinks
chewing
whiskey.
Tobacco.
Yeah. It's. Whiskey with the flavor of chewing tobacco.
Mm.
But you can go check it out, and then if you want to get in on some get some official Predator whiskey, you can check that out. So that's it for news this week. Everyone was off for the holiday, yeah. So let's dive into show and tell. And I think both of you guys said you didn't really see anything, right?
I sold. A few old episodes of Dexter. Like, that was on TV for some strange reason.
Jeez.
On, like, Showtime? Or, like...
Like, Showtime 3, whatever it was.
Christmas Dexter marathon.
No, it literally was. Like, it was, like, the Christmas morning. Just like, hey, Dexter marathon. Like, what? And they started with, like, the John Lithgow season.
Oh.
Like, the darkest one.
Going hard in the paint.
Some guy at Showtime 3 is just like, what's this VHS tape?
Yeah. Hey, look, a blank laser disc. Let me throw this in. See what's cooking.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch anything new. I watched Mars Attacks on the plane ride back from Jersey.
Oh yeah.
It's been a while since I saw that. It's fun.
How's it hold up for you?
I mean the computer graphics are just awful. Like, it's not like the first Toy Story where you're like, wow, they've come so far, but like it still ages really well in my opinion. This was just like, it's bad. it's like really bad. But at the time, it was like mind blowing. So I'm not talking shit about it. I'm just saying like it doesn't really hold up. Still really fun movie. Like if you're a fan at all of any of those like B sci-fi movies from the 50s and I guess 40s, it's like, you know, it's definitely Tim Burton's sort of like love letter to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Like I think it's like the last like really fun like crazy Jack Nicholson performance.
Oh my god, yeah. Got,
other than like, you know, like I mean Anger Management was in there, but it was so like over the top and everything. This was just kind of like, I don't know, to me it felt like the last of the like crazy Jack Nicholson being crazy. It's kind of like before they broke Nicolas Cage, where it's like, wow, he's so crazy in every movie unintentionally. Yeah. And now it's like a thing, you know? I feel like that's what it was like with Jack Nicholson.
I feel, yeah, especially like that, like sleazy, like casino, like guy.
Yes.
Who, like sleazy just, Nicholson.
Yes, yeah, which I forgot that he played that guy too.
Yeah.
Like when I was little, I don't think I made the connection, but now I was like, wait, why is he playing like Tex McGillicuddy or whoever this guy is?
I think that was his main like stipulation for like signing on to be them in the movie. Is like, I want to be two roles, and they're just like, all right.
I want to be all the roles.
It's Jack Nicholson.
Like, you know, this role literally factors 0% into the movie. Like, you're already playing the president. I want to play all the roles.
Mm-hmm. I've been working on my Macho Man Randy Savage impression.
Yeah, that was a bit strange.
Yeah, the cast of that movie is fucking bonkers, though. It's just like,
oh, it's
like
stacked.
Like literally every person is in that movie.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, even like the most seemingly like non-important characters, like Jack Black is in that. And I always forgot that he's in that. I'm like, is that one of his like first actual, movies?
I think he was like barely even credited to that movie.
Yeah.
It just says Jack Black?
Yeah, well, I was watching the opening credits where it's just like listing off the names, and I did a double take. I was like, wait, when? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I must have told you a story where I saw that movie as a kid off of like a big Back to the Future bender. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Michael J. Fox, go! And you're like, yay! Uh-huh. Like, and then, death.
Johnny
like,
Caged.
Yeah, he got Johnny Caged. Mm-hmm.
He lasted kind of a little bit longer, at least. It wasn't like a insta-kill, but... Just when you think he's gonna like actually factor into the plot somehow, you're like, oh, this is where everything turns around for. Oh no, he's dead.
And it's not like a you know, he died a hero kind of thing. Like he just gets blasted off screen, and then he just his hands left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I believe this is like a year or two before like Bond came out, like the GoldenEye. So Pierce Brosnan was in it, and you're just like,
GoldenEye had just come out.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like this is like the first thing he did after it was like GoldenEye.
Yeah, like he had been Bond once, and it was kind of like, oh, Pierce Brosnan's so hot right now, and then it was like he couldn't do stuff like this anymore going forward. You know, it's kind of like, no, you're James Bond now. Like you have to just be James Bond all the time.
Yeah,
no more dog head people.
No, that was such a weird like. Hey, Pierce Brosnan, do you want to get paid, like, several million dollars for, like, 4 days of work? Yes, I do. Oh, we got a movie you might be interested in. Yeah, that's another interesting thing, too, is that I was watching it on my, this is not sponsored, but on my Amazon Fire HD. And when you watch those Amazon Prime movies, they have that, like, X-ray stuff going on.
We watch it on, like, your PS4, too, that it was that,
too. Yeah, dude, some of that stuff is definitely worth checking out. Like, they have, like, goofs and, like, trivia in the back. Like, it sucks watching the movie with that running in the background, but, like, during really crazy scenes, I would, like, tap the screen just to see if there's any, like, you know, like, trivia or goofs or anything. Like, some things were kind of stupid. Like, hey, in the war room, like, they're missing, like, New Zealand on the map, and it's kind of, like, insulting or whatever. I'm like, oh. Okay, and then things where it's like, hey, before this door explodes, you can see, like, that it's split down the middle already, so it was, like, not their first take or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine, I guess. But then there's some more, like, other, like, really in-depth sort of things where I was like, Jesus Christ, that's so, like, super specific. Okay, now I know that I'm an expert on Mars Attack. It's kind of funny.
I'm just wondering if that's actually like real factual things. So that's just someone on Amazon going, who is going to challenge this fact?
Yeah, yeah, probably just some like bored intern. It's like, this is Oprah Winfrey's third favorite movie. Like, oh, cool. I have no way to verify any of this, but cool.
So yeah, so Mars Attacks. Yeah. The perfect Christmas movie.
Yeah. It was weird. Hey, it was the flight back, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch another Christmas movie. Like, what am I going to do? When did I download Mars Attacks? I was like, okay, I'll watch this.
Christmas is over.
Yeah.
Time to watch the Martians. Bird. Yeah. So, so I watched a bunch of stuff since last podcast. So I caught up with Counterpart, because that's been back for 4 weeks now. No, 3 weeks now. Fourth episode's coming up this weekend. This is the J.K. Simmons stars spy espionage show, except it's sort of like a Cold War, like kind of like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy or like the Americans style, but instead of like a Cold War between countries, it's like Cold War between dimensions, because like there's a gateway between our Earth and another Earth that's like similar but not like different things happened. And so the result of that is you get two J.K. Simmons, but you pretty much get two of every character on the show, because everyone has like a double on the other Earth, and it's all just like spot. There's like one office in Berlin, because like the gateway's in Berlin, so there's like one office that knows about like this gateway, and like the rest of the world doesn't even know what it exists. So like everyone in this office is like this like alternate dimension spy agency trying to like keep things under wraps and like figure out what the other like world's doing. And it's a fantastic show. Like if you like spy stuff, like it's just like classic. It's kind of like classic espionage spy stuff, but like with this like cool sci-fi twist of like it's about an like there's like this alternate universe going on. And there's like stuff with like one of the big things like is like the other universe. There's like this faction that like blames like our Earth for this like flu that swept through in like 1996. Because I think like that, like our Earth created the flu and sent it over there as like a biological weapon. So that's kind of like this kind of like this like terrorist group that's kind of like, trying to like destroy our Earth, and like that's like kind of like the big thread for like the first season and the season. There's like sleeper agents and all sorts of stuff going on. And I mean, and then J.K. Simmons is awesome as always. Like, especially he gets to be like two like completely different characters. Like his character on like the like our Earth is like this kind of this like kind of like weak, meek sort of like he's on the same job for like 30 years at like the office, like he's basically just like a pencil pusher at like our Earth's office. But then in the alternate universe, he's like this like badass like Whiplash style like kick like spy like Black Ops spy guy. So it's like you get badass J.K. Simmons, you get like meek J.K. Simmons. It's awesome. Definitely, if you have Stars, check that out. And also, I caught up with the most recent two Into the Darks on Hulu. So the Thanksgiving episode and the Christmas episode, or quote-unquote episode, they're movies. But the Thanksgiving one was Flesh and Blood, and it's like... there's this girl who her mother was like murdered on Thanksgiving or like near Thanksgiving, and it basically like they never caught the killer, so like she kind of like developed like agoraphobia of like she hasn't left the house in like a year, and then she starts to kind of like suspect that her dad might be a serial killer, because she finds like all this like there's like weird stuff in the attic, and like she like. Her dad gives her a necklace for her birthday, but then she sees like this necklace on the neck of like a missing girl photo on like the news. And it's just like, where did my dad get this necklace from? And then
I saw the billboard to this episode. Like,
yeah.
And it's super weird, because you can't tell if like the dad is being a father figure or just like preparing for his next kill. Like it's
Dermot Mulroney is the dad. And, yeah, the one thing about it is like I feel like it does do like this like sort of like it kind of like builds up slowly, and then also like it just kind of like goes like ramps up like to like 11, Like, just like kind of like at one a certain point where like Dermot Rooney kind of like just goes insane at some point. Yeah, like, the ending is like completely like it's sort of like it's like slow burn build up, and then like the ending is just like completely insane, like completely over the top insanity. But it was fine. It was solid. And then the Christmas episode was Puka, which is about this guy who he's like like this kind of struggling actor in Los Angeles, and he takes a job being like the costume character for this new like. It's sort of like a Furby kind of toy. It's like this like electronic toy that, like repeats things, and it's like the hottest toy of the season. So he signs up to be like the or like, gets the job to be like the guy in the suit at like the cause there's like a pop-up store where selling it and stuff. And John Daly is like the sleazy guy like running the Puka company. Like yeah, we're gonna sell a bunch of Pukas. And but then like the suit, it's like the suit is like. Alive by itself, or it's like turning him evil, or like taking over him, because like things are happening but he doesn't remember them happening, or like you can't see like the suit wandering around by itself.
So it's Five Nights at Freddy-ing itself.
I think it's very Five Nights at Freddy's inspired, yeah. But like, it's also directed by Nacho Vigalondo, who directed Time Crimes and that Colossal movie that I think Anne Hathaway was in, the one where like she controls the giant monster. And the like it turns into like a it's pretty crazy mind fucky sort of twist at the end of like what actually is happening. It felt like the whole thing was kind of a little bit too weird and like if it had been kind of more like straightforward of like yes the suit is like taking over him then that, or like
oh no
or,
it got philosophical at the end. Where it's just like
it reminded me a lot of like a Twilight Zone episode ending where it's just like
oh well, but Twilight Zones it's usually like a moral lesson because the person was yeah. like oh, what was the thing like nice try asshole that's like a Twilight episode
yeah
that's like the premise where it's like I can outrun my fate and she's like nice try asshole you can't or it's like I can steal this nice try asshole so
yeah
where did this fall in like was it guilt manifest guilt or was it like yeah. Innocent guy ignores like true fact or something.
There's it's like it's definitely there's like some guilt stuff and then it's also like think like the things are not what they appear to be like it's like maybe the entire setting is not what it seems to be.
Oh boy, great.
So if I was ranking them so far, especially Into the Darks, I would say definitely the body is still the best one. I would say. Which is the first one, the Halloween episode,
and then that was the first episode, right?
Yeah, I would probably say they go like in order, like Body, Flesh and Blood, Puka, and I think there's actually if you're listening to this right now, I think there's a new one up right now on Hulu, the New Year's Eve episode or the New Year's Day episode. It's like I think it's called New Year, New You. So maybe I'll have that. I'll check that out and have a report back in like a week or two here. And then I also saw, for Black Friday, VHSPS, the VHS Preservation Society, had, like, a pretty big sale where everything was half off. Like, every tape you bought was half off. So I bought a couple of them. And one of them I bought was, VHS turned to DVD called, That's Action. And I basically just bought it because the title of the thing was That's Action. I just saw like and like this picture of this like guy in like a welder's mask and like a machine gun holding a machine gun and there's like explosions going on in the background. I thought maybe it was like a one of those like VHS where it's just like all trailers or something like you know they have like those like horror VHS tapes or like those like sci-fi VHS tapes where it's just like kind of, it's like 2 hours of just trailers or something. But it's like it's actually way more bizarre and crazy than that. It's actually like a promo video for Action International Pictures, which is the studio that brought us Deadly Prey and Space Mutiny and Future Force and like all pretty much like half the things you see on Best of the Worst on Red Letter Media. Like this studio made them. Like David A. Pryor, David A. Winters, like anything they made is like under the Action International Pictures banner.
So like the not Golden Globus.
Oh, they're like sub canon. Like they're like the notch below canon, like is international pitch action international pictures. But yeah, so this that's action tape that I have it on DVD now is it's like I don't know who it's actually like what it actually is trying to do. Like I don't know if it's like for like quote unquote fans of action international pictures or if it's for like if it's like a promo tape of like hey. Investors or producers like look at how awesome we are like fund our movies or if it's like I don't understand what why it even got made like but basically what it is that so Robert Culp hosts it and Robert Culp was in a ton of stuff in like the 70s and he was in like I Spy with Bill Cosby and a bunch of other stuff Greatest American Hero. So it's pretty like big like 70s like TV actor guy. But yeah, he's hosting it and it's basically just like it's like these segments where it's they just show clips from like action international picture movies. So it's like awesome shootouts. Let's watch a shootout from Deadly Prey. And it's just like and you just watch a clip from Deadly Prey and it's like and then Robert Cole comes back and is like, wasn't that great? Here's another clip.
It's just a weird clip show.
Yeah, it's a weird clip show of action international pictures, but I don't understand, like, is it, like, are people, we're hoping, like, people were like, oh, man, I love Deadly Prey, I'm gonna buy this tape and, like, watch clips of, where it's, like, but it feels more like an investor thing of, like, hey, producers or, like, people with money, look at how great action international pictures are, like, you should fund our movies, or like star hey big stars like come
be in our movie
be in our movie. Yeah,
well I mean this is the age before like the internet, so you just had to make this weird mailer promotion video. I guess
it's like it's so fucking insane because like Robert Culp is like introducing people and introducing movies and it's like he's pretending like they're like AFI top 100 like it's like he's like the immortal Reb Brown stars in Space Mutiny. Let's take a scene from this movie.
It's good hype town.
the legendary David Carradine stars in Future Force. Watch him take care of the bad guys in this scene. He's like describing like the plots of these movies and like they're just fucking bonkers. Like there's an AIP movie called Night Wars apparently, where it's like Nightmare on Elm Street crossed with Rambo because it's like these two guys. That's like the big takeaway. One of the big takeaways from this is like I need to watch this entire movie of Night Wars apparently because it's these two Vietnam vets and they have to like suit up in full like commando style like battle arm like guns, grenades, camouflage, like the whole like John Matrix style like commando like arming up scene, but then they have to go to sleep. and then when they go to sleep, they're like dreaming of Vietnam, and so they basically have to fight like this Vietnam War battle in their dreams. But then like everything's happening to them in the dreams, happening to them in real life.
So not quite PTSD, but kind of someone had an idea of what it was.
Yeah, it's like if they get shot, like you just see like they're like in bed and scripts are going off on their like sleeping bodies, like and it's just like. And then, like, Dan Haggerty is there, just, like, going, like, what the fuck's happening?
Dan Haggerty is just, like, the everyday man, just, like, this is insane. Yeah. Why do we use technology?
And these guys are in, like, a fucking, like, hotel room or something, like, and it's, like...
It's not even, like, a lab?
Oh, it's like they go to this hotel and like suit up and it's like go to sleep and then like the walls are like getting shot with bullets and, like, grenades are going off in the hotel room. It's just, like, what is happening? And there's like a Freddy Krueger as bad guy who like is aware of like they're dreaming or something. And he's like some sort of like
Night Stalker.
Yeah, he's some sort of like evil like he's like a white guy working for the Viet Cong or something or like whatever like evil like group they're fighting against. Like he's like the mercenary hired by them or something. And you can't kill him. Like he's like shooting him with like a million bullets and he's not dying. And yeah, it's pretty much everything. Like it's all just clips. It's all just like crazy clips like that. Like they show like they do this segment about like awesome car chases, and they show like that fucking scene from Space Mutiny where like they're like in the like Zamboni things, like those little go kart things from Space Mutiny. And then like Robert Culp's like, man, they don't make car chases like that anymore. Or it's like, wasn't that great car chase? And yet, like, and he also has like some like Robert Culp just has like millions of terrible like one-liners when they come back from like a clip. Like, there's a whole sequence about like a whole segment about like because AIP made this movie called Man Killers, which is just like a bunch of like Playboy bunnies and like penthouse pets, like but then like David A. Pryor like put them all in like tank tops and short shorts and like threw them in like the woods with like machine guns and grenades and stuff, and like it's just like it's sort of like the Dirty Dozen or something, but it's all just like women like fighting men. For like, it's just, but like it's just an excuse for like them just like run around with no bras, like and like tank tops and short shorts, like in the woods. Robert Culp's just like talk about like they show a clip and just Robert Culp's just like talk about a femme fatale or something. Like, you know, like every time they come back, he just has like some terrible one-liner thing like about the clip that came that we just watched. I found like it's the whole thing is on YouTube. I'm probably gonna put it up on the site at some point for Everything Action Theater, just so like everyone can experience this. But like it is extremely bizarre. Like it's like a thing that has no purpose. Like it was just made because David A. Pryor was just like, hey, Robert Culp said he would do this thing. We have to make something up now. It's like because Robert Culp's here, and like we need to sell like our movies that no one sees until 30 years later when they're like cult movies now.
Yeah, it's like you don't know when the next trend of that is, because like canon films came that recently, so it's like once that starts a frenzy, you gotta dig down deeper, and it's just like uh-oh, like this treasure trove of just insanity next.
This That's Action Tape is like literally if in like the 80s Golan and Globus made a documentary, like a clip show about themselves.
Which I think they should have made about them.
Instead of like the like amazing documentary like Electric Boogaloo, like it's just like this like self-congratulatory, like we are the best. Here's clips from our movies that show that we're the best. And all the clips are terrible. Or hilariously bad. Oh, they don't even show like some of the best clips though. Like they don't show like the like Deadly Prey clip where they got like he rips his guy's arms off and beats him with his own arms. but yeah, so keep an eye on the site. They'll probably be on the site soon. I'll embed the video from YouTube and everyone can check that out. And then the big thing I saw is I saw Aquaman over the last weekend, weekend before Christmas.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, making tons of money. It's a huge hit. China loves it.
China really loved it.
Yeah, I think it's made like $200 million already in China, or some sort of crazy amount.
And the insane thing is China hates clean water, so it's like why why is there like their favorite movie like a man that loves like the environment?
Yeah, people Aquaman
live out like, their fantasy.
Yeah. Like, didn't they? Oh no, was that China? Or was that Japan? Who said they were like resume like whale hunting? Like
that's Japan.
Is that Japan?
Like, maybe that's why. Maybe it's just like this weird like custody battle between like protect the sea or fuck the sea.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, the latest entry in the DC extended universe. Although who even knows what that means at this point? Like.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really.
Yeah. And yeah, so Jason Momoa back from Justice League as Arthur Curry, aka Aquaman. And
talk to fish.
Yeah. Oh, he talks to fish, all right, in this movie. Fish and more. There's so many there's way more things than fish under the ocean, apparently. There's like giant monsters and crab people and fishmen, Dolph Lundgrens.
Whoa.
But yeah, the basic plot is if you've seen or read Throne of Atlantis, it's pretty much like, I mean, slightly changed because obviously the Justice League was involved in that
minor detail
animated movie in the comic, but it's just Aquaman, but it's pretty much the same premise where like Orm the Ocean Master, who's played by like Patrick Wilson in Aquaman, wants to take over Atlantis or take over the ocean and then like attack the surface world and like destroy the surface world. So Aquaman has to like take his place as the king of Atlantis and stop him. It's also It's very similar to Black Panther. Like, it's like there's like ritual combat going on, and like ritual combat to like who will be king, and like relatives, like, because like Orm is like Aquaman's half brother, so it's like family battle going on. So, but yeah, it's pretty fun. Like, it's like I definitely have like the run of like the DC Extended Universe is like probably one of the best DC movies. If you liked Avatar, like, this thing is just like Avatar level crazy as far as like the visuals going. Like, it's all just like bioluminescent animals and crazy underwater kingdoms, and like, yeah, just like the visuals are just like insane in this movie. And I saw it in regular. I didn't see it in 3D. I imagine 3D is probably even crazier, which I think, Joe, you're going to see it in 3D on Sunday, you said, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I definitely
mean, you were saying that it's one of those either you like love it or hate it sort of movies. So even if I hate it, I'm at least hoping to just get like the fucking laser light show planetarium experience out of it.
Yeah, if you just want like crazy visual, like just crazy blockbuster, like explosions going off and like fishmen and all, like any pretty much like they just go full crazy. They go full comic crazy. Like James Wan just like, fuck this. Like, if you're not bored with sharks with laser beams on their heads and crab people and Dolph are going to be in the king of some underwater ocean kingdom, then like, stay home, because like, this is, we're going full combo crazy in this thing.
I feel like that's the only way you could do it. Like, no one's going to be like, really serious Aquaman, get the fuck out of here. Like, you already kind of took care of that problem by making him kind of like a like super badass.
Like your bro or something. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's like a super badass biker bro or whatever. But like, then when you inject all the campy, crazy, like classic Aquaman stuff into it, I can't say that it balances out because I haven't seen the movie, but I get the impression that it kind of finds like a happy in the middle. Still crazy, but at least kind of like, you know, it's not like all camp or all like over the top, like,
yeah,
want to be badassery. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like for most of the second act, it turns into like Indiana Jones, like, because like it's like Aquaman,
because that was a fun movie.
Yeah, so Arthur and Mira have to go and find like this like legendary trident, and it's just like turns into like this like Indiana Jones esque adventure where they have like go into like ancient tombs and follow clues, and meanwhile Orm and Dolph Lundgren their whole plot is like they're just like going between they have to like recruit like the other kingdoms, and that's the only, like, because like Orm the Ocean Master needs like all the kingdom's approval before he can like take over and like attack the surface. So he's like, they're just basically traveling around all these like crazy, like the crab kingdom and like the fish people kingdom, and like basically telling them like, oh, you have to join us.
Are they like surviving all these kingdoms that were like constantly like trying to kill by just dumping
crab
things?
People, Chris. Duh.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
And there's also like the trench, which is just like these like that used to be Atlantis kingdom, but now it's just like mindless monsters. Which was that was like it's like straight out of the comic story, like Throne of Atlantis. Like, that was like a big thing, like the trench. and also Black Manta's there. He's like a mercenary who Aquaman kind of like runs into in like the first like the big opening like sequence is like Black Manta like leading this like pirate crew, and then like then he shows up later. It's like in like full Black Manta, like straight out of the comic book Black Manta armor, which I would give them like 100. Like, the other thing they went full comic book with is like the looks of everyone. Like Black Manta is full on like 100% Black Manta comic book costume, mm-hmm. and like Orm, yeah. like when Orm and like Orm puts on like the like that like winged helmet thing and like his like armor that he's wearing, like he's full on like Orm the Ocean Master like from the comic book. And then Aquaman, like it was in the trailer, but like you obviously like Aquaman next to him, like it's like his like gold and green armor, and he's just full on classic Aquaman. So it's not like oh, this is like an interpretation, right? So there's like a nod to like the classic costume and like this modern costume. It's like, no, this is like straight on comic book crazy costume. Like, this is like 100% the comic book costume.
They basically did what Zack Snyder did with Batman's costume, where it's like they could never pull like a year one Dark Knight Returns sort of costume, like that gray and black spandex, you know, not spandex obviously, but like that sort of like spirit to capture that. And they're like, bitch, I can't, watch me. So like,
yeah,
that's something that I was worried they wouldn't do with Aquaman, but then obviously like the toy image is leaked, and then I think it's been on a poster for a while now too. There's been some promotional images of him in the proper Aquaman suit. I think that looks fucking great. It looks badass.
It's awesome. We're so far away from like the like X-Men like black everyone wears black leather ears. Like
it's just they gotta figure out how to make like actual comic book inspired clothing that isn't like a Party City outfit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like just nuts bonkers fun. But for the most part, like it's pretty predictable, especially if you read Throne of Atlantis, like you know where the story's going. And even if you've seen like a movie before, then you know where the movie's going. But there's like tons of everything's exploding, and there's like just insane sea creatures all over the place that you've never even seen, like these like weird like seahorse dragon things that people ride around on. It's just like the underwater battles are just like insane. It's like there's like crab ships, these like manta ray ships fighting like sharks with laser beams in their heads, fighting seahorse dragons, fighting God knows what. Like it's just, like killer whales are just showing up, and it's like. Yeah, it's bonkers. But yeah, definitely. I would say we're checking out though. It's like if you want like fun Avatar style visuals and just like Jason Momoa like being a badass and like punching fish and fighting Patrick Wilson, and Dolph Lundgren. So so that's it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site next week. We're going to be having our best of and worst of lists going up. So keep an eye out for those. And probably most of our regular features will probably be back up and running next week. Or at least some of them will be back up next week. We took a little bit of time off for the holidays this week. But back up and running for the new year. And so for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you in 2019.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.